Right, hello, welcome to another episode of the Give Us a Spell podcast. I am Zach, your host, and we're up to episode now, we're in our 60s now. Had Ben Alexander, ex-Wallaby, on last week. Great chat, really interesting what he had to say about Israel Folau as well, and what he's happening and what he's been doing in retirement, his new little business. We've got plenty more happening in the next couple of weeks. We've got a couple of racing guests, a couple of footy guests, and maybe even some surfing thrown in there as well. But it's been a pretty eventful day in the rugby league circles. Racing was big on the weekend, but there's been a few yarns today, especially out of Manly. As I welcome in Tom, how are you?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, pretty good. How are you?
Mate, not bad. You had a little weekend off work?
Yeah, mate. Just had 4 days off. Just relaxing at home for a big spring starts. Autumn, I mean.
It's autumn. Autumn will do. Do you have any joy? I guess even at Canterbury on Friday night, saw Dave Stanley's horse win at 15s.
Yeah, it did pretty well. I missed it, but I had a little place all up that I think it was about $20 for all these things to place, and they all won. And going into the last, I was like, oh, why didn't I have these things to win? And then the last one ended up coming third, so I was so happy that
did
I didn't
every race.
Go more to win. They all won apart from the last one, came third. Not every race, just far a mixture out. Of Moonee Valley and Canterbury. I think it was about four legs each. So, yeah, they all placed. Well, they all won and then the last one placed, which was pretty good.
What is it with Dave's horse at Canterbury? Somehow it can come from the back and win, which is not what many can ever do.
It's so funny. Like, you've heard Richard Friedman talk about it on the white turf. On the white turf we're talking about. He says that it just... Even like Randwick or anyone where the good back markers track, it just never runs on. And then I think it's happened three or four times at Canterbury where everything's leading. Like every race they lead, the leader win. The leader wins. And then I think it's a mixture of Tommy Sherry and on the white turf at Canterbury has won like four races there. It's ridiculous. It just doesn't make sense. I think Richard makes sense of it, but he just keeps putting it in there and keeps winning. So
was Tommy Sherry on the? I thought it was Rachel King. Was it Rachel?
It might have been Rachel that night, but yeah, I think he's been riding. Then it was like, he did really well there.
Oh mate, we'll touch on some more racing soon, but it's been a pretty eventful day in rugby league. We'll go to Tommy in a sec, but Mr. Sam Burgess has just failed a roadside drug test. Obviously, not good for his court case and what he's been going through.
Good old Sammy, he was on a good behaviour bond as well after the intimidation charge got up about a month ago. So we'd won this drug side test failing and then everything else has been going on. I don't even know. He might even have more court cases coming up, but that's not good at all, especially like South in for such a massive year this year as well. There's a bit of chat about his brother. I don't know if you heard as well. George is sitting out the whole year. Basically needs a hip replacement surgery. And he did the right thing and said to the club, look, I'm going to be injured all year. Don't re-sign me. Let me go. I'm going to get my hip back. And he wants to come back to Australia when he's fixed and still try. Because I think they're only 28, the twins.
They're not old.
Sammy, that's... just another string to the bow. I heard Matty
positive
John's
for
talking
cocaine.
About it. Oh, I heard Matty John's talking about him last week. It was, I think it might have even been Brandy, actually. He said he's the most unluckiest guy with some of the stories you hear. But from that and the last one he's convicted from, he brings it on himself by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. But coming on with, there was a bit of a talk this morning with Tom. Trbojevic, good hamstring, out till round four or five. And the story was that he did it slipping over in the bathroom. Sounds like a very unlucky story. I did get wind of a video that was going to come out. Got sent that this morning. I was never going to be posting on any of our socials. That's not what I do. But it was him sprinting a running race versus some other random on Saturday night in the Corso. So
would have been interesting if it was a Roosters player if you posted it or not.
Oh, well, yes.
No, I'm joking, man.
Ever want to be the first one to be posting that sort of stuff. But I spoke to a few other pages and they were in the same boat, a few pretty big pages. They were like, not posting, not doing that. That's not what we do. And then you wait for Daily Telegraph or Fox will do it. And what do you know, Daily Telegraph and Danny Widler acting as if they got the video firsthand, which, you know, please. But the Manly have said that, you know, it's not where he injured himself, but it does look a bit sus, I guess, when you're sprinting Saturday night in the Corso or you do it in the bathroom the next day. So not good.
No, and it's massive for Manly. Hopefully it's only that month or 5 weeks anyway and he's right for the rest of the year because he, as we've seen the last couple of years, Manly can't afford to lose him.
No, we can't.
I think... they've lost Elliot and...
he's gone. Brandon Elliott's gone.
Hopper as well, who filled in for Turbo.
Albert's gone to Canberra, hasn't he?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Who plays one? Does maybe
or Funa
choose to
or
go back there?
Maybe
or
Funa or Carrick, maybe. Funa played a bit there last year. But is it worse to re-injure your bad hamstring or do your good hamstring? Like, which one's worse?
Well, you don't want to do your good one. Because that can just open you up, but at the same time, the bad luck he's had with his bad one, maybe it's a good sign. It's not the bad one. It might even give him a bit of time to rest the bad one, get the good one right, and maybe be right to go in round 4 or 5.
I think he's even been saying that he's been doing that much work. He's played hardly any footy in 2 years or whatever it is that they were feeling top notch. So either way, if you're gonna hurt it just in your bathroom, that doesn't look good. To how strong they are.
Yeah. It's a real tough one because it's a real hard one to, like, work on as well. I mean, you can do plenty of stretches, but it's not like muscle you can put on there. You've sort of got to wrap it in cotton wool, don't you?
I think we've said this before. Like, do you think Tommy should be, with his bad hamstrings, should he be playing fullback? Should they just move him in maybe to centre or 5'8 or something for the future?
Yeah, but as we were sort of talking, there's not a lot of fullback options, so Manly might need to look to sign someone, and especially, like, when he's 100%, there's no... Well, he's as good as the best fullback in the game, really.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal news for him, and especially for Manly. Who knows, Ben might even get a start sometime this year as well, his little brother.
Yeah, especially if... injury crisis happens.
It's already starting. It's brutal. All-Stars game. So that was pretty sick on the weekend. Good to get some footy. Highlight for me, though, was pre-game and the Maori Haka. I can't even say Maori, right? It's Maori, but it was one of the... I don't think I've ever had goosebumps for that long. I love watching an All Blacks Haka. But that one where, you know, Pat Herbert peeled out, Chance peeled out, Isaac Luke looked as scary as ever. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, Chance was epic. Like, I got goosebumps as well. I got goosebumps in both of them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Even Trill, like, you can see him about to what happened, but still when it happens, you're like, fuck me, this is cool. Like, it just means so much to him. I was a bit disappointed that the Melbourne players couldn't play for him.
Of course.
Just with the lockdown and everything. And I actually thought the Indigenous All-Stars might run away with it because I think they lost... The Maori All-Stars lost about 6 players of the Storm, so I thought they might struggle a bit. But
they would have had Jerome Hughes as well running the show, didn't they? Was Jerome in the team?
Jerome Hughes, I think most of their forward
Brandon
pack,
Smith.
Nelson, Jesse, Brandon, Kenny Bromwich, and I think there was another one.
They must have gone pretty well, without
Remus
all them.
Smith as well. Yeah, so they did well. They looked like they were struggling to score because they had so much possession early, but... Yeah, they held on for a 10-all draw. It sort of seemed fitting because the defence of the Indigenous All-Stars was so good. So I know ending with a draw is pretty shit. Like,
nah,
I felt
bad.
Pretty flat after it.
What about
but
quarters?
At the same time, it was all right. I think the quarters were good. You know what I would have liked, and I was watching and thought about it, was, all right, stop for the quarter, but don't have a kickoff. Like, just go back to the play you're at.
Yeah, okay.
So I reckon that would have been a bit better, like, if they just kicked it in the touch or whatever – or got tackled, then, yep, sweet, have a quarter. Then, all right, fifth tackle on the 20, let's just play the ball there and just move on. rather than having another kickoff, I thought that sort of took away from it a little bit.
I heard Matty Johns this morning and he was saying, you know, we are in the entertainment industry, and he felt ultra flat after the game as well. And the players do as well, but the people that are stoked are the coaches, right? They don't want them overdoing it and whatnot. But you know, a draw, and the fact that none of them knew. I heard Cody Walker even after the game say if he knew there was no golden point, he wouldn't have taken the 2-point penalty goal.
Yeah, well, he even looked like when Luttrell was saying, no, I want to... I mean, sorry, I can't remember who took the kick. Was it Luttrell? Anyway, he was like, no, we don't want to take the two. We want to run into, like, too bad. You've already opted to take it.
Yeah.
I thought they might do a little trick play, just kick it for the winger or something. But, yeah, I guess they needed to know the rules better or the...
Yeah, well, no one knew, did they? Just assume.
No.
Zane Musgrove, he copped 2 weeks for that big shot he put on.
Yeah, well, that's as blatant as a shoulder charge gets, isn't it? Like, didn't miss him.
It was pretty solid. He's pretty tough. He was calling people out last season, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I think he had a year off from. I think he might even be dropped for the first few weeks anyway, with Madge for a bit of indiscretion. But I think he's a good player and good back rower. They get better with a bit of age as well. I think he's really going to come into his own, bit of intimidation.
So what do you think of the actual game? Like, was it missing people like Adokar and that? Like, were people just a bit gassed? Because it was a bit of a shambles, I reckon.
Yeah, well, you think about those games, like, they're normally, like, big try-scoring affairs. But I don't know. I actually think that maybe both teams were a bit more forward and fitter than a lot of people thought, because the off-season wasn't as big and they were still pretty good in defence. They were all catching up. And I think that the fact that you got unlimited interchange helps them a lot as well, and they could rely a bit on that. But, yeah, normally you like to see a lot more tries in those sort of exhibition games.
There was I had a look, I think, on the tab too, and they didn't have a same-game multi. That was disappointing.
Oh, very disappointing.
I was pretty disappointed. If anyone hasn't seen the behind-the-scenes Mauri Harker, NRL just put it up. It's like 5 minutes. They're going through it, learning it. It's pretty key viewing. Well,
James Fisher-Harris in that. I remember looking at them when they were doing. He's one mean dude. Like,
yeah.
Who was the guy? Was it Cody Walker that had a go at him? And then he just looks at Cody Walker and just smiles. He's like, "What are you gonna do, mate?"
Exactly.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. What's going to happen there? Like, Cody was he was pretty angry out there that night.
He was up and about, wasn't he?
I love Cody. Yeah, he's got some nuts. The funny thing is, watching someone like Jerome, Luai. Try and look scary. I find it a bit funny because he's so like pretty and little and such a little legend. Watching him do the haka was a bit different. Seeing him that,
it is so funny. It just reminds me of like back in the day, like Jason Nightingale when he used to play the New Zealand. Like him in the background, or it almost feel like the New Zealand cricket team trying to do a haka. Like,
all the Tall Blacks,
not intimidating at all. They're
the best. On from that game, there's been a few other stories. I saw the Sheriff had a bit of an article written about him the other week.
I think I read that they're going to keep him on, but he might miss the first couple of rounds and be fined for, what was it, making out with his mate's missus?
Michael Leisha.
Yeah, and then Leisha went a bit burko, as you probably understand, but like you don't threaten. Like, you don't threaten the girl, but, like, you can understand why
he was
so
dirty.
Upset. Yeah, especially when it's one of his good mates. And I think Adam Elliott had a kid in the off-season as well, and you just don't want to see that sort of stuff. Like, late night.
He's got in a bit of shit, Elliott, lately, eh?
Yeah, and he just re-signed with the Dogs as well, and I reckon they consider him a leader. So, yeah, you don't want too much more of this stuff.
No.
It's classic rugby league story, though, isn't it?
Mate, classic rugby league, but some of the good news is Origin dates are out. I see that one game's going to be on a Sunday. Mate, a Sunday arvo would be sick.
Yeah, well, I think before COVID, that's what they sort of try to do. So it's a bit closer together. I think they'll have a standalone week where the Origin's by itself and then the other two on the Wednesdays, which are cool as well. Like, I still think those Wednesdays rate a lot better. But having one Sunday, I think that makes it pretty good as well, pretty unique.
Do you any smokies to make the team?
It's a bit hard at the start of the year, hey. Like It'd be interesting. No Wayne again this year. I think the Queensland team have got a big pool to pick from. Like, you think of all the so-called worst team picked, and then you chuck David Fifita, Kalen Ponga. There's probably a bunch of others there.
Fifita wants to go 80 minutes this year. He wants to be like a full-time player, like a Jake sort of thing.
Can you imagine him and Tino playing 80 minutes and keep running that year?
Nah, yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, so he must be thinking he's pretty fit. What about Latrell? Can he make it back in Origin? And there was a few players this year, last year, Daniel Tupou, who came back in the team after many years.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because I don't see him playing fullback for the Blues.
No,
I don't think he's going to get in ahead of Teddy unless there's an injury. So you'd have to think he'd be a centre, but... Yeah, mate, if he's playing well, then there's no one better at Latrell, especially, probably even going to centre would be better, or just that strike weapon out wide. If he plays well, and I think South's going to have a massive year, so Trell could be massive smoky. I don't know, is there anyone else from injury that we didn't have last year? I can't really...
Well, you got Tom. If Tom's fit, he should probably make it. But then you got who are our centres like... Clint Gutherson, you probably got Steve Crichton on the bench as well. You got Jack Whiten. A lot of people talking Whiten at 5'8", though, and that was the talk. Laurie was saying that a lot too.
I think it could even be depends how well Cody Walker plays as well. They'll find it hard to leave him out, and whether Cleary stays as well, it's going to be a big thing if Jack plays in the halves or centres.
And they're pushing Pappenhausen as well, that he was probably going to be picked the first game if he wasn't injured.
Yeah, I think he should have got a run last year. Maybe I'm a bit biased, but I would have loved to see him come off the bench when the big tired defence are happening, like Harry Grant sort of did for Queensland and worked so well.
Speaking of Latrell, he's just re-signed.
Yeah, I think that's massive for South. Bit of talk to the new Brisbane team or even the Broncos we're going to have a play at him, but I think he's pretty at home at South, and I think they're in for a massive year. Absolutely.
Long-term fullback, you reckon?
I think so. I think he plays similar to GI. Everyone makes those comparisons. And the last time they won the comp was GI firing at fullback. So I can see Latrell doing the exact same.
And even keeping Alex Johnson on the wing. He had a nice little slip-up in the All-Stars game after the match, saying the F-word.
Yeah. But imagine Johnson one wing, Mansour the other. That's huge.
Mansour's going to start, isn't he?
Massive. I think so.
Mansell was flying at the end of last year. I can't believe the Panthers got rid of him.
Yeah, and just Benji played unreal the other night, and having him at 14 coming off the bench as well would be just.
He said he's sweet too. He's like, mate, I'm happy to play on in the reserves or whatever. He doesn't care. But they're laughing getting him for probably next to nothing.
Massively.
Cameron Smith, so still being silent. Kevy made a little mention yesterday or the day before that he said the Broncos are interested and they're going to make a play for him. Is he going to play? I'm leaning towards a yes now.
Well, there's so many photos of him at Titans trial games, him with balls in parks. Chris Court, friend of the show, has been on it a few times. He's still convinced that he's going to Brisbane. Which he has a good theory that last year Ben Eichen was very, very adamant that Brisbane should go after him. And then all of a sudden, halfway through, he stopped. He used to say at every show that Brisbane should go for it.
Yeah,
and then
he never stopped. Yeah.
Yeah, and then who knows, maybe Brisbane have had this plan all along.
I think he might be thinking, post-career as well.
Well, you know what I reckon might happen? I've heard Matty John say it as well, is he might not make a decision by the start of the year. He might just see where the teams go, and then if the Titans are flying or even if the Broncos are flying and he's feeling pretty good and they've still got a spot available, they don't have to shore that spot up till August.
See, the yarn I heard was that he will not play for pretty much the first half of the season. Then he'll sign on for the second half of the season with, let's say, the Titans. Because he already is a million-dollar player and they've probably got 500 grand to spend, you can't sign him for 500. It's not fair.
No, apparently both clubs at the moment have enough money to sign him for the full year.
Right. I mean, but it's got to be, okay. I don't know if he'll play the whole year, eh?
I don't think so. I think if he was, he'd already be with the team now, but... I don't think we see players like switch clubs so easily. Like, remember Blake Green basically signed with the Knights last year, two days out, and he was already playing for him. I think Cameron Smith, if he knows what he's doing now, he can get himself right and just announce it, and he could be playing for a team a week later.
Yeah, but you want to be sort of with the team and learning all the shit, don't you?
Well, I think it's probably the other way. I think the team sort of need to work around Cameron and how he plays. Like, especially like Brisbane Broncos haven't really added a lot to their attack. I think MILF's going to be out for the first month of the year as well with a broken hand.
True. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm keen to see him go around again.
Yeah. Well, especially McCulloch, them letting McCulloch go must be, they must have some sort of plan number nine. Yeah.
Before we wrap up rugby league, question on, did you watch any of the All-Star Fight Night?
I just saw a bit of the highlights.
Worst $60 I've ever spent, or $50 or whatever it was.
Well, I was gutted. I showed you the multi I had. I think I got everyone up apart from
Gower,
and I had Matt Bowen.
Bowen won.
You
for
were adamant,
sure.
Matt Bowen.
Yeah. And so were the commentators. So was everyone. Yeah, that was brutal. It was but it was a tough watch. Like, it was no good. There was no atmosphere. Obviously, they couldn't have a full house. The only one that could really have a go was Paulo, and he knocked out Neville Costigan. Good boxer. Obviously, he wants to do it post career. They had to wear headgear, and I'm assuming it was probably like from the clubs. But
yeah, I think it was only the players that were still playing.
Nah, like Ben Hannett and stuff were still wearing it. Like Ben Hannett and a few of them. But every time they got hit, it would just cover their eyes. So far out.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a shambles. All right, any more rugby league?
No, I just on the fight night, I heard Ben Hannett went pretty well.
Mate.
Considering, like, fighting Papali.
Papali came out after it and said, there's no way I won that fight. Ben Hannett won. And Ben Hannett took that fight with, like, he's not a boxer, and with, like, no notice pretty much.
Yeah, no, he did really well. I think a few captains got announced. I think it's the only other bit of news.
Storm. So.
Storm, Bromwich and Dal Finucan. Yeah, I think that's a good one. They'll probably be on the field for pretty much the 80 between them. James Tarmel for the Tigers, I think, is a good one.
Yeah,
Cleary and Yeo for the Panthers. That's probably about right. Give them both a bit of responsibility. Cleary probably didn't need it.
There's not much like captain, vice-captain these days, are there? They're doing a lot of joint.
Yeah, well, even, like, they have leadership groups around it and have, like, a handful of other players, even if they're not the captain. So, I guess it builds a little bit of culture.
Did the footy on Saturday sort of get you pumped for the season? Or you
I'm real keen.
So it's Charity Shield this weekend, isn't it? Is that this
weekend? Charity Shield, yeah, this weekend. Not too far off, hey. What is it now, like 3 weeks?
Yeah, mate, pumped. Watching those games and seeing, like, just watching the haka, mate. Unreal. Going to ask you, did you watch any of the rugby, the new coverage that Stan are doing?
No, well, the thing was, I thought I might get to because I was out at the pub.
Yeah, and you can
but
watch
But then the last minute Tabcorp pulled out of the deal to show it in pub, so you can't really see it. But I think if I'm at home and it is on Gem, I'm not going to pay an extra money for I might do the 2 week trial or whatever.
1 month.
Was it a month trial?
I did it.
Yeah.
I did it, right, and I really wanted to see from 6:45 what they did and how it looked. It looked amazing. It was sick. They'd done such a good job. Graphics fantastic. Sets really good. Good talent. But then one thing I don't really understand, they had Alana Ferguson, right? So she's done it all. That's cool. Got her on. But then she was doing the analysis and stuff pre-game with David Campese. Yes, David Campese, one of the greats of all time, but why have we got someone that's hasn't played for 30, 40 years doing the current analysis right now that's probably never done it? He's never really been part of a team or whatever. Why isn't there – you've got Drew Mitchell and you've got those other guys in there. Why aren't they doing it?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like even Cech has at least sort of been around processes lately. He would have been a good one. But I guess the one thing about David Campese, he's got that aura around him.
Yeah.
A bit like how Fox League used Mao. They should sort of have a bit of him analysis, but more talk around like what he went through in his days, I guess. Yeah. You're 100% right about those sets and the graphics. I was actually with a couple of guys who work with Channel 9 when we're out of the pub, and they were showing me a couple of like behind the scenes photos of the studio. Like,
yeah,
it looks epic, and even the crowd was pretty good, I think, for Brisbane.
I think they've done
don't think they're allowed a full crowd.
Yeah, but the Tars scored the first try and then just got pumped, and that's the disappointing thing. Like, at the same time, and there's no Michael Hooper at the moment; he's still playing in Japan. Brumbies looked amazing, Force average, but I really like what they're doing. Their promos are sick, all that stuff, but it's so disappointing what happened with Tab or Tab Corp or whatever, and I'm pretty sure I just got back to Volandis because he gets final say on this sort of stuff.
Right.
But he pretty much said, I don't know anything about it. This was the article in the Sydney Morning Herald. He said, I don't know anything about it. Need to be consulted, and I am not, you know, pushing this because I feel you're pushing rugby a lot more than you are pushing rugby league at the moment, because they were doing heaps of those hype pieces and promos and whatnot. And he said it will have a negative effect on wagering. So, not sure how that works.
Well, I think there's a bit of like News Corp as well, v Channel 9, who are Fairfax. There's a little bit of head-to-head battle there, who own Channel 9. But I think there's a little bit of whisper that Stan Sport are going to sign a couple of things. Like, there's
a bit of rumour that they
might get the Bellator, like all the MMA fights from overseas, and there's a little rumour that the A-League might be signed by Stan Sport as well.
I think that this rugby is just the first, and I think this might become like a regular thing. What's really cool with it as well is before it started, it's not just those live games. They've got a stack of stuff on there, and I was just scrolling through, and there was the Wallabies test match from 2000 when the All Blacks got up 21-0 after like 5 minutes at Stadium Australia, in like just around the Olympics time. I don't know if you remember, like, Lomu's in the team and whatnot, and Tana Umanga, and they scored literally, they're up 21-0. I'm like, far out. I remember this game, and then I remember Mortlock scored in the 7th minute, and literally the Wallabies came back and were ahead, and then the injury time, Jonah Lomu scored the winning try. The fact that I could watch all those games. That's just what I was trying. I mean, trying to get people's opinions on what's changing rugby, but give me the 2000 test match between Australia and New Zealand. I'll watch the entire game. I won't even fast forward.
You know what else is going to be the other good thing, especially for you, like all the club rugby, basically all of it's going to be on Stan Sport as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where it is.
That's like, almost, that's bigger than state level at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's doing really well. The annoying thing with like the state stuff is going to those massive stadiums. And that's the problem. I think that's what a lot of the ex-players have said, the same thing. Yes, it probably cost them a bit of money, but you need to go back to grass level or grassroots before you then try to expand, I think.
Yeah, massively. Like, I reckon when the new stadium opens up in next to the SCG, a lot of the big rugby fans are all Bondi boys anyway. Like, I think they'll still manage to pack it out when it comes back there. But in the meantime, I thought it was sick when they took it to Manly and played it at Lotto Land, and even Newcastle got a big crowd when they took it up there.
Yeah, it's
so true. Like, if you're going to take in the big ones, take it around, share the love a bit. Play to Penrith, like there's big fans out there as well. Like, take it around to the state.
Yeah, they need to. They need to just like I said, bring it back, get people more interested again. Because at the moment, there's too much of that just like separation between club rugby to the Tars, and that's just not good for anyone. Mate, let's move on to some horse racing. How good are the girls going at the moment? And in particular, Jamie Carr, Rachel King.
Unreal. Absolutely unreal. Like, Rachel King on Saturday just took it to a whole new level. Like, everyone's sort of talking about Tommy Berry v. J-Mac, and then she put her hand up saying, I'm here, I'm riding Godolphin, I'm riding pretty well, I can lift him up. And she did so well. She is third on the ladder behind those two, and I think she's in for a massive carnival.
So what is it, Tom? You know racing probably better, a lot better than me, but when it comes, why do these jockeys go on a heater? We can name anyone. We can say people bag Glenn Schofield these days, but there was a time 3-4 years ago where he was the number one. Everyone was going to him. He was winning everything.
I don't know what it is. Like, I think it's just like anything, confidence. Whether it's like a rugby league team or your Djokovic, and a bit of confidence behind you, and just knowing what to do. And sure, a lot of it's like your manager and getting decent rides on decent horses, but then from that, it's converting them, like actually lifting them over the line and doing your job and just writing what you think. Like, it's so much of for jockey as well as feel.
Yeah.
Like, so once you feel like you're with that horse, like when you're in the zone, you can be unstoppable, like Rachel was on Saturday.
So Rachel rode the first three, Andermatt. There was a short favourite in Valmaster, which was no good. Andermatt, she won the first, Blue Missile the next, Nimalee the one after that, and then later on she won on Emanate. You look at someone like In the Highway, was top three were three girls, Rachel King, Cathy O'Hara, Winona Costin. I feel like the girls these days, it's not... You look at someone like Nashua Wheeler, who is a tough jockey, doesn't take any shit, he's strong as. I feel like the girls are a bit more like that now. They're not scared to take those little risks, and they're not scared to get themselves involved. Whereas maybe 10 years ago, or even shorter than that, 5 years ago, that wasn't happening.
Yeah, well, it would have been a massive boys' club then, but, it just shows, like, if you're a good jockey and you're doing what you need to do, it doesn't matter if you're a boy or girl. I watching today, Winona at Bathurst was doing amazing. She rode great at Goulburn yesterday, and Kathy's had a great year so far. You see her riding a lot of decent winners as well. They're flying. And then there's Jamie Carr.
Yeah, and she's just killing Melbourne. Like, and she is just saving everyone's bacon every week, it seems.
Massively.
You said to me in the morning on Saturday, you said Aegon just wins, right? I ended up backing Peltzer still, but Peltzer sort of led and got run down. But Aegon was on the drift as well. So did you lock in the worst price, I'm assuming?
Yeah, not the worst one. It wasn't a great one. But I said that at the start of the day, and then the way the track was going, you'd have to be with Peltzer. I mean, just the leaders were getting home, and so much of Aegon, what it does is get back and then ride for luck. But having Huey on was such a good move at that time. Like, he didn't go wide. He stuck to the rail, didn't have to make up a lot of ground, and the class of the horse just prevailed. I think his horse is going to be massive. I think 1,400 wasn't his trip. Get it out further. And on a track that was leader bias, like, wait till it gets out further on fair tracks. I think this horse could be gapping them. Tell you what I did on Saturday. I was pretty keen on Anthar as well, so I multied them together. But what I did was like a spring multi, and I put Anthar for the Blue Diamond in with Aegon to win basically every race it's nominated for,
yeah, right,
for the carnival. So that's already gone, and all the prices are gone as well. I think it went from $15 in the Derby to $6.
It'll go. So where's it going to go? The Guineas? Aegon?
I think it'll go, Rose Hill Guineas, and it'll end up, I think it'll end up at the Derby. There's a bit of suggestion it might go to the Donny, but yeah. I think the way the Baker and Forsman, their record in Derbies is sensational. And if it's as good as what we've seen so far and keeps improving, I think you could even win a Melbourne Cup later this year.
Mm. I think I read this morning that it was Randwick Guineas might be its next stop, but who knows? It's nominated for a few. I think a lot of people in Australia loaded up to Fibrillate in the first at Melbourne.
Yeah, yep. Had a bit of a bet on it. That was a good start to the day. I was a bit questionable about having a long race to start the day.
I don't do it so often
in Melbourne, but yeah, it gets you up, like, especially when
the favourite wins.
One you've backed. Yeah, well, just one you've backed runs pretty well. And
I thought you would have been a Wolf. You're a bit of a Wolf fan, aren't you?
I'm a bit, but I think Defibrillate is a horse on the rise, and it'll go to a Mornington Cup now after that winning the Prelude. And, it could go anywhere. It was, great start to the day. I had a pretty good day in Melbourne, to be honest.
You followed Jamie Carr.
Back to fair.
Yes, Baby Yes was a tough win, that race three.
Yeah, I think I was on the other thing. From memory, but I had a pretty good day. But it was tough.
Peckiness, I didn't think it was called.
Yeah, I thought I had it at one point, but the photo came up the other way. But yeah, she's so good.
So good. Probabil. I put up a little funny little just tweet about, all my degenerate friends are starting to talk in units now, and I put down, have a 3.5 unit bet on Probabil. Not that I did, didn't back it at all. I backed Behemoth. Probabil enormous.
Yeah, it was one I really liked. proper Bill. It's first up run where basically no one said it could win and it dominated them. I think Arcadia Campoin was massive there,
it was.
But Damian Lane just satin. They're on a good track. I'm trying to remember the record, sorry. It was, I think on a good track, it's like 7 from 8 wins or something.
Proper Bill.
Yeah, 7 wins from 9 starts. So it's so hard to beat when they're on a good track. So I really like Proper Bill. I think it's improved from its autumn carnival where it ran in the Cox Plate and had a pretty good carnival. But I think it's going to be Proper Bill's spring.
You've done that again. Did you not do the New Zealand double? Are you going into Proper Bill?
I should have, and I thought about it, and I didn't, and I definitely should have. But I backed both of them singularly, so I was pretty happy.
Artorias won the Blue Diamond, so I've been pushing Enthar for a long time. I've got a few bets for the Golden Slipper. Unlucky for me that I've taken $6 for the majority of them, and it's $13 now. Artorias won for the Freedmans at $13 or $15. This is what Tony Brassel had on top.
Yeah, the Freedmans know how to win this race. They won it a couple of years ago with Liar. And they just must have known they've got a decent horse that was capable of it. But Enthar was a bit disappointing. Obviously, it had the issues through the week. It had the wide gate. It went really hard really early. The times suggested that it was going really quick. And, yeah, just the first run over 1,200 wasn't what it was going for. A lot of people saying they can't back it over 1,200 anymore. I don't know. If it
wide
was
gate.
Good gate and,
yeah.
Yeah, I think Wygate's always a bit tough. I'm not sure what it's going to do next, if it will go just straight to a slipper, if it runs at all, if they put it out.
I think people are being a bit harsh. Like, it was still in it with about 100 to go. And then, you know, people are saying it should be, some people are saying it should be 20s for the slipper. Like, I disagree. I think 13s are overs. You can't just write it off now. Seen this all before, sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, we saw it with Farnham last year, like after it had a hoof problem in the Magic Millions and then ran one bad race, everyone wanted to jump off.
Yeah,
we say so many times with two-year-olds, and then the same people would probably back it at $20 or $13 when it wins the slipper and say, I told you, it was
exactly.
It was always pretty good. So you can't win with them.
An amazing race was the Oakley Plate where Pikey had a dead heat on Celebrity Queen with Portland Sky, and I posted one of the an amazing photo that was taken of him literally horizontal as if he was Superman flying the every single inch out of Celebrity Queen. How good was Pikey on there? I know he didn't win, but I think he got 2 seconds.
2 seconds, so 3 group 1s, 2 seconds and a dead heat win. Someone suggested if that race was in Perth, they would have given it to him. But yeah. I think it was great. I thought he did really well. Like he said after the race, I was trying everything possible not to get caught on the inside. And then he got caught on the inside and he still managed to lift it up to dead heat, like right on the line. Like you said, that photo was so epic. Like, literally, like, he was almost planking on the horse.
Yeah, he's literally
like,
horizontal.
He's just such a good horseman. And you're right, those 2 seconds were pretty good for him. And a bit of credit to Portland Sky as well. I think T.O. Nugent's first ride in a Group 1, I really rate this jockey. I think he's going to be anything. He's still an apprentice. And he did well to get out in front. And he probably should have held on and won, but the Wizard of the West sort of just sneaking home to share it. I don't think he'll care. I think he'll still count it as Group 1, and he's done really well.
I think he's a freak, mate. He's going to be a big one. Parody won the last, so pretty good horse. I think Shared Ambition, Homesman, they're both pretty good as well. But that rounded up a pretty good day at Caulfield, pretty impressive. But there's some Group 1s happening this week.
Yeah, well, Sydney gets their turn with the Group 1s now. I think we have a Group 1 every week until basically almost the end of April. So it's going to be great to have racing in Sydney, Group 1 racing in Sydney again, and having a few people back on track.
God, that's
a
good
race. We started getting
weekend,
the feeling
yeah.
a few weeks ago. Yeah.
What do you got? You've got the English Dash, Skyline, you've got Sweet Embrace, Chipping Norton, Guy Walter, Surround, and Australian Guineas going around, like happening around Australia this weekend.
Yeah, it's massive. It's going to be a great week. You can tell, I'm watching some of the trials, like all these good horses are back. It's really exciting times.
Chipping Norton, one of your faves, very elegant, $2.80, but you've got a Collette was enormous, and so was Colding. Keep me out of Funstar at the moment, but those three, I think there's not much between them.
There's a bit of talk there might rain this week as well, but they said it was going to rain last week.
Yeah,
so
that was good.
If it really does rain all week, then Collette's got to be massive chance of winning it. But
looking at weather now, it says it's raining well for the next 8 days, which is exactly what it said this time last week as well.
Yeah, well, I think you got to hold off for that race.
Yeah,
I mean, Very Elegant will love it too. It'll probably come in if that rain persists. One I really liked first up was Mugatu. Interested to see what that horse does. Master of Wine could return as well. It's wait and see what the noms do on Wednesday. It's very exciting.
Talk me out of Hungry Heart in the surround. It's $8.
I'm not touching Hungry Heart ever again, I don't think. I think I finally learned. But then, I don't know. I actually, Dame Giselle as well was a bit disappointing first up. But
so
I
was
think
Away
I was
Game.
A bit fitter. So was Away Game. But
Every Rose is the one that got back.
Good horses, I left out the quaddy. Oh, no. I had it in there and then took it out.
Heard that tune before. Do you watch much of the tennis? Did you have a bet? You like a good futures bet on the tennis?
No, nothing that got even close. But I watched the final and I don't like him. But you gotta respect him, don't you?
I've loved him forever until the last couple of months when he's carried on a bit. Like I think he's a freak. I think he's so good.
Yeah.
The fact that he's done it with an injury as well, and you know it's an injury. It's not fake. He's buggered that muscle in his gut. The fact that he could drill Medvedev last night, 7-5, 6-2, 6-2, when the guy's coming off 20 in a row wins, he's unbelievable. He's going to surpass Roger. It's going to happen. I think he's only got to do two more, I think, Grand Slams, which he'll easily do. He's probably got another 5 or 6 years in him anyway. He was enormous, mate. King's the man. King did really well. Really disappointed that he got up two sets to lose in five. But he showed a lot of heart, Kyrgios, and hopefully that continues.
You want him to show a bit of fight. I can't remember who said it, but someone comparing him to Leighton, and he's always had those Leighton comparisons all through his career, but just now, like, even when he lost those two sets, he almost needed the five sets to win as well, like Leighton always used to do. So, I don't know. I think he needs Leighton in his ear a bit more as well. I reckon that would be a great team if he can stay on the straight and narrow.
I just watched a little clip that he just put on his Instagram, and he talked about who people always have their like heroes and their stuff growing up. And he said, obviously Roger, you know, he's a freak. He's one of the greats, but his main man that he wanted to frame his game around and he still wants to was Jove Wilfred Tsonga. And he goes, he was a bit of a showman. He loves that. And he goes, you know, and I've been lucky enough to beat him and stuff. But I thinking now they're pretty similar players.
Yeah, Joe Wilfred, so good. I think he's still playing, Joe.
Yeah.
But I love watching Joe Wilfred. He was always one of my favourite players as well.
Not sure.
Big raps to Osaka as well.
That's what I was about to say.
She was great to watch. She's sensational. Like
$7.
It was a bit disappointing, but Barty was. She's just honest. She goes, "Yeah, I lost, so I didn't
love that."
It was a shit result, but look, I'm doing what I can. But I've heard the journos don't really like her because they never give her a headline. But she's so happy and honest. And
Serena walked out because started asking her too many questions. Obviously, Serena wants to win all the titles and win all the get in the record books and stuff. She got the shits and walked out. And
she's just sitting on that one win. Since she's had that kid to pass Margaret Court. I think a lot of Aussies are desperate for her to pass as well.
But Osaka pumping her, straight sets. She was amazing, Naomi Osaka.
She just looks so happy. Happy all the time.
Remember when she lost and it was really awkward during that speech? Like she lost to Serena, I think, last year or the year before in the final. Fuck, it was really awkward. All right, let's wrap it up with Gao has been going back and forth with some Instagram videos against Lucas Big Daddy Brown. I think Gao, to me, I don't think Gao talks any shit. I think Gao is pretty honest with what he's saying. He goes, obviously, I want to get paid, but you are not worth $100,000 or your promoter is not worth $100,000 for me to sign on at this rate. So it was back and forth, back and forth. Now he's going to fight him. This guy can actually blow, though.
Yeah, well, there was a bit of conjecture with him, wasn't he? He was on a bit of roids at one point, and then he claimed he never did him, and he got done again. But
I think
he's a great fighter. Well, I can't remember what it was exactly, but allegedly. It was something like that. But allegedly, but he's a great fighter nonetheless. And a lot of people are going to say the exact same thing that they said with Hunt, that Lucas is going to just dominate him, and Gao's like, well, you all said that with Hunt.
Yeah, you said I was going to get killed by him, well. Yeah.
I'd really love to see him fight Justice Honey as well for the Australian World Heavyweight Championship if he can beat Lucas Brown.
When is it? Do you know? Have they said?
Yeah, they said April 20 or something like that. Well, I thought they might even join because Tim Zhu's having one in Newcastle.
Yeah, I just looked at it. Yeah, he's $1.12.
That's next month. I thought they might combine the two and have them both on the same card, but no, apparently they're separate.
Fair enough. Anything else, mate? What's been happening? Anything else to talk?
Hey, no, it's been pretty quiet. I just came for the footy to come back.
Footy and group racing.
I will say, you know, the tennis in February, I think that's great. Wait till the cricket's over in January.
That's good.
You have tennis in the February and then the footy starting in March. I think it's been great off season. I'd love to see that continue. I don't think it will, but it's sort of just made that February gap a little less painful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird watching the tennis as well with no crowds for those couple of days as well. For me, I assume, being a professional tennis player, you feed off the crowd, and so would Kyrgios. Watching Kyrgios, he loves, like, even if it's yelling at the crowd, he needs that. So for him to not have anyone in the crowd must have been pretty awkward.
Yeah. Well, I just remember him just talking to one person in the crowd all the time. He's like, what do you reckon, man?
Should
I serve it down the middle or serve it there?
That's like, amazing.
And you get up for it. So, yeah, you got to think that they're the crowd helps as well, like especially these big tournaments.
100%. It was pretty weird when they like started booing when they started talking about vaccinations last night, but that's for another time. That was pretty weird.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, good chat. We'll touch base in the next few days.
Sweet, man.
Cool. See ya.
All right.